Welcome to Torah Dimecha Parsha. My name is Adina Shmimin. Join us Wednesday, August 16th for a pre-Rosh Chodesh Elul live Zoom presentation with Mrs. Debbie Fox, launching the Women's Initiative Journaling Journey with daily self-reflective prompts through Yom Kippur. Sign up for both the Journaling Journey and the Yemei Ratzon Ideas and Inspiration programs at ouwomen.org/yr23. And now for this week's Parsha.
Welcome to Torat Imecha Parasha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Parashat Shoftim, in which Moshe Rabbeinu continues to focus on mitzvot, but narrows his subject, dealing almost entirely with issues pertaining to various leadership institutions. The parasha opens with a directive to appoint shoftim, judges. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha l'shvatecha, v'shaftu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. Appoint judges and officers in all of your cities that Hashem is giving you, for all of your tribes, and they will judge righteously. The judges are to administer fair and equitable jurisprudence and maintain a just society so that we will endure in the land. Should someone be accused of wrongdoing, the judges are instructed to thoroughly investigate the charge, which requires the testimony of at least two witnesses to convict. Should a case prove too difficult to resolve on a local level, the people are adjured to bring the case to the high court in Yerushalayim. The pasuk in Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Tet, chapter 17, verse 9, reads, Ki palei mimcha davar lamishpat, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, uvein nega lenega, divrei rivot b'she'arecha, v'kamta v'alita el hamakom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha bo. If a case is beyond you in judgment, whether a conflict over bloodshed, over civil claims, or a case of injury, any words of dispute in your cities, then you shall rise and go up to the place the Lord your God will choose. Uvata el ha-kohanim ha-leviim ve'el ha-shofet asher yeh bayamim ha-hem, v'darashta v'higidu lecha et dvar ha-mishpat. And you shall come to the kohanim leviim and to the judge who will be in those days, and you shall inquire, and they will tell you the words of judgment. Here we are introduced to a second leadership institution, that of the Levitical priests who serve in the Mikdash. We'll hear more about them later in the parasha. For now, I'd like to discuss two interesting points in these verses. First, the term She'arecha, which we translated here and in the opening pasuk as your cities. Literally, it means your gates. The city gate at the time of the conquest was more than just a fence. It was a place where the city elders gathered, where the court sat. It was a hub of commerce where people entering and leaving the town could change money and find provisions. It was a very active and exciting place, which really could define the town where it was situated. The term Bish'arecha, or b'chol she'arecha, as it appears in the first pasuk of the parasha, appears in the Torah almost exclusively in Sefer Devarim, 16 times in this Sefer, and only once in Sefer Shmot, not at all in any other book of the Torah. This both highlights and explains the unique focus of Moshe Rabbeinu in this Sefer. He is addressing himself to concerns that will arise as the Jewish people transition from their life in the desert, in which they were a unified community, living in defined formation with the Mishkan, the sanctuary, at the very heart of the camp, which provided centrality and definition to their lives. Upon entering the land, they will be dispersed throughout the country. Their focus will shift to Bish'arecha, to building up their own homes and villages. Moshe is concerned throughout the Sefer about the various threats that this new reality will pose to their spiritual well-being and to the character of the nation as a whole. And in this parasha, instructs the nation to set up the leadership systems that will optimize their chances of success as they struggle to live as a people whose identity is defined by their relationship to Hashem while facing the material challenges their new reality will impose upon them. And this includes the challenge of living at a distance from the spiritual center in Yerushalayim. Therefore, local courts must be established in every city, but if a matter proves too difficult to be handled locally, remember that the sanctuary still stands at the center of Jewish life and remain connected by turning towards that sanctuary for clarification of the law. When the verdict is handed down, Moshe warns, Ve'asita al pi hadavar asher yagidu lecha min hamakom hahu asher yivchar Hashem, Ve'shamarta la'asot kechol asher yorucha. You shall do as they tell you from the place which Hashem will choose, and you must carefully observe and do everything they tell you. Al pi haTorah asher yorucha, ve'al haMishpat asher yomru lecha ta'aseh. Lo tasur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol. According to the Torah that they will teach you and the judgment they will tell you, shall you do. Do not deviate from that which they tell you, neither to the right nor to the left. The source of Torah teaching remains in the sanctuary, at the heart of the nation. And as we establish ourselves in our own homes and cities throughout the country, we must remember that the ultimate religious authority and inspiration derives from the site of the Mikdash in Yerushalayim, binding us together in service and devotion to God and His teachings. And hence the mention of the Kohanim Leviim, whose role and responsibility it is to teach Torah to the nation alongside the judge who may resolve the specific conflict which is brought before him. Secondly, Moshe, the second point I want to discuss in these psukim is the inclusion of the seemingly extraneous phrase, Asher Yihyeh Bayamim Hahem. You must seek out the judge who will be in those days. As Rashi notes, based on the teaching of the Gemara, to whom else would they go if not to the judge who is officiating in those days? We're not expecting that people are going to access a judge from some other time. In this very parasha, Moshe warns against consulting sorcerers and necromancers. Obviously, anyone who turns to a higher court for justice would be limited to the judges of his own time. Nevertheless, teaches Rashi, Moshe wants to tell us, you must turn to the judge of your own time with full respect, not comparing him to judges of earlier generations who may have been on a higher level, not saying, oh, if only we had Moshe Rabbeinu in our time, then this conflict would be able to be resolved to my satisfaction. As it is, I don't really trust this guy who's leading us today. Chazal teach us that every generation is given the leader best suited to the particular character and needs of that generation. Moshe goes on to instruct the people regarding another type of leader, the king. When we enter the land and settle it, there will come a time when we will demand a king. And when that time comes, Moshe instructs us to place the king upon us only from among the Jewish people. The king may not be an outsider. He may not have an excessive amount of horses, lest the people end up returning to Mitzrayim, for it is from there that horses were obtained in the ancient world, as we saw in the case of Shlomo HaMelech. He may not have an excessive number of wives or too much gold and silver. The king must write for himself a Sefer Torah and keep it with him at all times to ensure his reliance upon the word of Hashem as his ultimate guide to life, which governs his behavior at all times and keeps him a Yirei Shamayim, so that he behaves in reverence of God and preventing him from becoming arrogant and corrupt, chas v'chalila. The commentators are divided as to whether the instruction to appoint a king is to be numbered among the 613 mitzvot or whether it is an option allowed for by the Torah but not an actual positive command. Thus, if the situation arises in which the people feel the need for a king, then there are specific commandments as to how the king is to be chosen and how he must conduct himself. Following this topic, Moshe shifts his attention to the tribe of Levi, who serve in the temple, and as such, they are considered Nachalat Hashem, the province of Hashem, and they do not have a Nachala of their own, an inherited portion of land. Rather, they rely on edible portions of the sacrifices and charitable offerings of the people for sustenance. Therefore, Moshe reminds us not to forget them, for they have given up the right to own and cultivate their own land for the privilege of serving us. Moshe reminds us again not to mimic the ways of the other nations, for they are abhorrent to Hashem. He warns specifically not to seek out sorcerers or oracles who consult the dead, as we mentioned earlier, and not to engage in idolatrous practice that demands passing one's children through fire. It is precisely because of these practices that the nations were to be uprooted from the land, and our endurance in the land depends on our absolute loyalty to Hashem, to the exclusion of all such practices. We are to have complete faith in Hashem, to rely upon him without needing to resort to fortune tellers to tell us the future. Nevertheless, since it is difficult for human beings to relate to a God who may seem remote at times. And even when we feel his imminence, it may be so overwhelming, as was Hashem's presence at Har Sinai. So therefore, Moshe tells the nation that Hashem will send prophets as necessary to relay his words to the people, as the people had requested at Har Sinai that Moshe do for them. There may also arise false prophets at times who will try to lead the nation astray, and we must learn to distinguish between true and false prophecy. The array of different leadership positions described here can lead to some interesting dynamics. While the role of Shevet Levi is pretty clearly defined within the boundaries of the temple service, the dynamic between the king and the prophet is less clear and was a source of conflict for the vast majority of the years that both institutions flourished in Israel. In his discussion of one of these conflicts between Chizkiyahu and the Navi Yeshayahu, Rav Kook, in his commentary to the Gemara Ein Ayah on Masechet Brachot Daf Yud Amud Aleph 10a, explains the roles of the king and prophet as follows. The mission assigned to the Navi by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to address the spiritual needs of the nation, to guide the people to live in this world in a manner which will lead them to eternal life, individually and nationally. The prophet is future-directed. His charge is to make the Torah relevant to daily life and at the same time to foster the realization that our exalted destiny lifts us above the mundane physical reality of this world. The Navi has to help the people to keep our eyes on the prize, so to speak. The king, on the other hand, is intended to benefit the nation in its current situation, to work on their behalf in the temporal realm. So which takes precedence? Does the prophet bow to the king, or vice versa? Rav Kook explains that we must strive to achieve a certain balance between the two. There will be times when each might be required to submit to the other. Thus we see that Eliyahu HaNavi, after miraculously proving God's supervision of and intervention in the world at Har HaKarmel, in defiance of the practices of King Ahav and his evil wife Jezebel, nevertheless ran before the carriage of the king, even in the pouring rain, as he departed the mountain. In terms of external behaviors, matters related to the material welfare of the nation and public decorum, the prophet yields to the king. But when it comes to the inner life of the nation, the quest for spiritual perfection, even the king must yield to the prophet. The nation requires different forms of leadership to fulfill different roles. When a leader does not respect the boundaries of his position, trouble ensues. Thus, historically, when the Kohanim of the Second Temple era took it upon themselves to serve as kings as well as priests following the revolt of the Hashmonaim, it eventually led to Roman incursion into the governance of the nation and ultimately to the Churban, the destruction of the temple. The distinct roles of the different leadership systems were clearly outlined by Moshe Rabbeinu in this parasha, who foresaw the need for different types of leaders who would be called upon to guide the people in their daily lives in the land. Judges to resolve civic issues, Kohanim to serve in the temple and help the people maintain their standard of purity, kings to serve the political and economic needs of the nation, and prophets to inspire and teach the people to give active expression to the words of the Torah. In totality, if these leaders were to work together, they would comprise a perfect system for the realization of the Torah's ideal society. Am Yisrael, Be'eretz Yisrael, Al Pi Torat Yisrael, the nation of Israel living in the land of Israel in accordance with the laws of the Torah. Further mitzvot enumerated in the parasha include a review and explanation of the laws of Arei Miklat, which have been mentioned before, cities of refuge, several other civil and capital cases that may arise, an entire section devoted to laws relating to warfare, including who does and does not go out to fight, and the injunction to first seek peace and only go to war as a last resort, as well as the prohibition of destroying fruit-bearing trees in conquest, all of which attest to the tremendous value that the Torah places on human life. The parasha ends with a complex situation known as Egla Arufa, how to behave in the unusual case of an unidentified corpse found in the wilderness between two cities, in which the Ziknei Ha'ir, The city elders of the city closest to where the body is found are to take a leadership role in absolving the guilt of the community for not having provided proper escort for one who was presumed to have been a guest in that community, which is yet another example of the dynamic between the leaders and the people that they serve. Thank you for learning together.